Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come.
The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family, and I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew. This is radio the way it should be heard. Today, we're grateful to have with us Heather Seymour, a licensed social worker who started the arts program at the Chalmers P. Wiley VA Ambulatory Care Center. And she founded this program, and we are just delighted to have she and her guests here today. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so glad you're here with all of your guests, and we're excited to hear about the different elements of the program. So, but before we go further, would you introduce your guests and let them introduce themselves?
Sure. Bernie?
Bernie Pontonis. I was with the 101st Airborne Division back in 1970, and I've been with the arts program since before your first child was born.
My name is Marion Risberg. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran attached to an F-111 fighter squadron during Vietnam era.
My name is Armand Goss. I am a Air Force veteran, Army brat, work at the VA alongside Heather. I'm probably best described as Heather's helper. She kind of helps me help her do all the dirty work, but I'm the co-chair of the Veterans Advisory Council, and I'm currently in the process of founding an event called Stripes and Mics, which is an open mic for veterans.
My name is Stephen Yarger. I'm an Army veteran, 101st Airborne Division. I volunteer at the Columbus VA with the arts program.
Welcome, everyone, to Faith and Family. And what we have here as a mission is to present information to our audience that helps them to live more abundant lives. And this certainly is a program at the VA that will help veterans and all and their families and all who hear about the program to live more richly and more abundantly. Heather, I'd like for you to tell me and our audience what the mission or the purpose of the Creative Arts Project is.
Sure, yeah. So the mission was developed, co-designed with the Veterans Arts Council. Bernie was there at the first meeting, and we came up with our mission statement, which is confidence through creativity, pride through accomplishment, healing through collaborative activity, and understanding through expression. So we really work together as a team to create programs, opportunities, and exhibition and conversations centering around creativity and art.
Well, it sounds wonderful. You use arts, music, theater, and dance, and you bring the veterans together with their families to create a meaningful experience in an environment where they feel cared for and appreciated.
We aim to do that, yes.
Can you say a little bit more about how you do that?
Sure. So there are a few different kind of arms of our program. The Veterans Arts Initiative has open art studio twice a week at the Columbus VA. So Tuesdays and Fridays, 2 to 4:30, we provide space, coffee, really bad jokes, and art materials to come together and make art communally. This has really been the center of our program because it really has created an arts community within the Columbus VA, and then allowed for other artists in residence to come in and teach or come learn about it. It really is kind of the backbone of what we do, is this open art studio. So allowing time for really making of whatever they want. So we provide the materials and the space, and they provide the ideas and the humor, really.
So really, they allow themselves to guide their creative process. You don't tell them what you're working on that day or have a particular thing, outcome that you're looking for.
Absolutely, yeah. There are a lot of different individual projects going on. Some people come in and continue to work on the same project. Other times we'll have people coming in and doing little mini workshops, or there'll be artists who are available to teach fundamentals of drawing or painting. But what we found is that folks really want to work on whatever their own projects are, but communalizing it.
Okay.
So some people come in and knit, other people come in and draw. Depending on what the materials that we have at the moment, we have some printmaking stuff that's we've been working on recently. And then sometimes we have little projects that are based on the time of year. So we've done, we've made paper flowers and then glued them to branches. I think that was in February. So we needed some, we needed some greens and flowers. But yeah, it's really an, it's an open space for making.
Yes. Well, I noticed that it's also for the family. So how do they participate in this?
So some folks bring in their grandchildren, or children, wives, brothers. There was a gentleman that came in that brought his father. He was the caretaker for his father. And it gave him a little bit of respite because he was able to drop him off and then go do some, run some errands, and then come back and get him. We also do creative writing, so sometimes there'll be readings of people's poetry in Open Art Studio, or people kind of going off to a different room to work on a collaboration between a writer and a painter. We've done that before.
Okay. I remember from the last time you were on the show, and today we're just talking about the Arts Kitchen. Do you have a, another name for that now?
Arts Pantry,
Pantry, okay.
So this is a program where we provide veterans who are eligible for food assistance. They're eligible for monthly art materials.
Okay.
Now, there isn't any formal referral. Like, you don't have to bring your, you know, eligibility for food assistance.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So if you show up, you say, I need some art materials.
Yes.
Then we provide you with it. The only caveat is that I like people to come back and show me what they've made. They
of
don't
course.
Have to, but I want to see. I want to see what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what kinds of projects or art productions do they return and share with you?
Oh, man, we've had so many. It's, you know, I always say I have the best job at the VA because I'm constantly getting calls or knocks on the door saying, I just want to show you what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
So we have one photographer who's doing this really amazing project that's kind of abstract black and white photos, large scale, really beautiful, juicy prints. We have another female veteran who's working on a mask project for with different masks and then writing that goes along with it. I mean, it's it really varies.
Do you ever exhibit any of these art productions?
Yeah, and that's the another arm of our program, is making sure that we provide opportunity for veterans to exhibit. And I am very happy to announce, and I don't think I've told anyone here, that the National Veterans Memorial Museum has offered us an exhibit.
Oh, nice.
So this is something that we've been hoping and dreaming for, and it's finally coming to fruition. So that is coming down the pike, most likely in the spring. But we have all kinds of exhibits. We do pop-up exhibits at like the stand down, veteran stand down. The biggest exhibit that we're really excited about, and that folks here helped with was, last summer we were invited to show at the Ohio State Fair.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we had a 40 by 60 exhibit space.
Nice.
And I will leave it to Bernie and Steve to talk about the harrowing experience of building and creating these walls. So we had this gorgeous space, and at the last moment, they we didn't have any walls.
Oh.
So about a month before, we were just like, oh, what are we going to do? And we did, this is such a perfect example of how veterans pull together, organize, and make things happen. So we were able to make 18?
22, I thought.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
About 20.
Yeah, either 20 or 22. Movable walls.
Wonderful.
And they are gorgeous birch, cabinet grade, gorgeous walls, that almost, when we put them up in the space,
yes,
it was just amazing to see. Even without work on them, we were just like, oh my, these are real pretty.
Art pieces themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, we really want to make sure that the work that veterans are making is exhibited, because it creates an opportunity for civilians, for family members, for the arts, the greater arts community, to join in the conversation.
Yes.
And to see the amazing talent that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it also starts this this conversation about veterans versus artists, and how some people identify as veteran artists, some people identify as artists, and not as veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this really interesting kind of push and pull that I think we have just begun to kind of talk about, as sometimes the veteran artists are marginalized in the art world.
Really?
as kind of this other voice.
Hmm.
And this otherness is really interesting, because it's not, we're not other. They're made other. So when you look back in art history, all of the contemporary art movements, mm-hmm, were really determined by wars. So when we look at the whole art world, we're not looking at it through this lens.
Yes.
And that is, I think, a really unique perspective to take. And that's another thing that we hope to do, is to create some art history lectures, which has been discussed in collaboration with the Barnett Center, OSU's Barnett Center.
Okay.
And kind of looking back through art history through this lens of how veterans and military conflicts have shaped contemporary art.
I think that's very important. That's a wonderful education piece for the public. And the term to me came to me, veterans with artist souls.
Mm.
Because that's what you're talking about.
A
veteran that has the spirit of an artist, the artist soul, to speak through that. And the wonderful thing about the projects that they're doing is that it effectively allows the right brain to speak, because sometimes that's what art does for us. It speaks for us when we don't have the cognitive words to explain it.
Absolutely.
So I think you're onto something. I think this is just simply wonderful. And while you were talking, I wondered about your board. Do you have a board for the art project?
Do you mean
a board of trustees or a board of directors?
So I will pass that along.
Yes.
To Bernie.
Yes.
Who was one of the founding members, and Steve, and they're two of the most active advisors.
Sounds good.
I don't know what to say about that. The Veterans Arts Council board is, we meet ad hoc. We discuss projects, and then gradually get enough people together to run off in a given direction. So as needed, we meet and we put together something quickly.
That's kind of what veterans do best, though. Just like she was saying with the state fair, we all kind of came together. We were given a task, and us vets, we kind of came together and built a project that she had. It was a little thing that we kind of built camaraderie, and that was what the whole state fair was about. It wasn't about, you know, my artwork or his artwork or her artwork. Yes. It was something we all did together, and it came out amazing.
Especially with the ladies across the way who had all the quilts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were so good. They came across the hall, and they were helping us with ideas, with particular stuff, access to materials. It was hilarious. More importantly, it was just nice to see so many people wandering through the exhibit, seeing the art, mm-hmm. reacting to the art, sitting against the walls and playing with their phones.
Yeah.
Gave a lot of us a chance to tell a story that you don't really have the words for. That's what the art thing kind of really does.
That's what art does, yes.
Seeing people come up and there's artwork that you've done or been a part of or mm-hmm. even building the walls, and they, you know, they come up and they appreciate it, they connect to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those veterans that doesn't identify as an artist until you see somebody staring at your artwork mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, meeting it.
Mm-hmm. We sort of have to work with our definition of artists, don't we?
I think so. Uh-huh. I mean, I think the art world is getting better about more inclusive of different voices. Mm-hmm. But I think we still have our work to do around that.
And that's important. That's your education piece. And I think it would help the community, the public, to sort of see art from different and new perspectives.
Absolutely.
Think that we all need that. It's good for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now your board or your arts council, do they decide on the kinds of projects or topics that you'll offer art material?
So we've had a lot of growing pains when we started. I was a clinical social worker, and I was doing this with the VA Arts Committee.
Okay.
So there were, before I ever arrived on soil of the Columbus VA, there was a really amazing group of folks that were committed to bringing arts to the Columbus VA. And they had gathered a lot of community partners from Glassworks to the Columbus Museum of Art to CCAD to OSU Animation and Cartoon. So they had gathered all these folks together, but the problem, by the time I had gotten there, it had almost been a year after, and no next steps had been made. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was because, it wasn't because people didn't care, and it wasn't because there was so much passion, but there wasn't enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So folks mm-hmm. that were doing psychotherapy, mm-hmm. You know, having an arts program is going to go to the bottom of the list when you have veterans who are needing your assistant mm-hmm. for mental mm-hmm. health related mm-hmm. issues. And so through that, we gathered veterans, who were leaders in their community, and we just started talking about, okay, what do you guys want to do? And so it really became, it was a handful of folks for the first few Veterans Arts Council, and that's when we, I don't think we even called ourselves that at that point. We were just talking about what kind of arts programs do you all want, and when should it be, and what do we need to do, so as the program grew, and the last director, Director Hepker, made a position for me to mm-hmm. carry on with this program.
Wonderful.
Which was amazing, but with that came very quickly we realized, okay, what are we?
Yes.
And how are the veterans going to have a voice? And legally, what does that mean? So the Veterans Arts Council and VAI had to be separated. So there were some growing pains there.
Okay.
And it was a very difficult time, mm-hmm. to be frank. But through that, I think we have learned, from my perspective, and they can speak for themselves, that it's kind of a it's a moving target, as you guys said. It's kind of a hurry up and wait, and that can be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
budgeting is I don't have a set budget. So that can be very frustrating.
Yes.
There's only so much that I can do. We really rely on donations
to survive. Like, yes, a place for volunteers.
Yeah, and a lot of it takes a lot of faith, right? So
okay.
You build it and you say, we're just going to go forward and this is going to happen. And this has been, some of like the best assets of the program and some of its biggest weaknesses is because it's really hard to build a program when it's based on faith that things are going to happen. And we just have to have faith that it's going to happen.
And it's happening. Yes,
and a good example is the Wexner Arts Center because we started there and suddenly they became intrigued with what was going on. And so they began having regular programs. We would be there for an entire, 5 or 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
We would meet regularly, go through the exhibit, and get indoctrinated one way or the other. It was like a nice dialogue between us and the artists in residence.
Great. Wonderful.
And because of that program, the Wexner now offers all veterans free admission.
Wonderful.
And that is something that not enough people know. So you can go in with a military ID and get in for free to the Wexner.
That's wonderful.
The Arts Council also gives us a wonderful opportunity to kind of distinguish things from the actual medical side of the Veterans Hospital.
Okay.
Some people don't realize that there's other things there besides hospital things. So the Arts Council has the wonderful ability to add on to that in non-clinical therapies.
Yes.
Just activities.
So that gets us to our holistic health, right?
Sure, yeah. So the Veterans Arts Initiative is under the umbrella of the whole health team and program, which is really a cultural shift. And I don't even want to say shift because the VA has been thinking about whole health and it's just a different word. For talking about whole health. But certainly there's been more of a push in the last 2 years to create these programs for veterans and for family members that are things like kayaking or painting mm-hmm. or going to the Wexner Center or a photography class in the park or whatever that may be, and legitimizing that these programs create social connections and create opportunities and reason that give people meaning, purpose, and mission in their lives. And that that really speaks to the core mm-hmm. of what we need to be really looking at, mm-hmm. individuals, meaning, purpose, and mission, mm-hmm. and how can we facilitate, not just at the VA, but within the greater community, how can we support one another through art mm-hmm. And through opportunities?
So would a good word be left and right brain integration? You know,
yes.
They talk about integrative health.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, loving art the way that we do in our home, that this is a way for anyone who is from any perspective or context to really integrate both cognitive and right.
Absolutely.
Together.
You don't need to be an artist or even
That's
good
right.
at art or
That's
even
right.
have ever done art before
yes.
to benefit from the psychological and health benefits
That's right.
of art making.
That is true. I know often in my spiritual retreats, I'll have a place in that retreat for making art. And so often people say, oh, I'm not good at art. I'm not good at drawing. You don't have to be. Just let your spirit and your inner self speak to you and let this pour forth. And then you kind of look back at the product and you see some meaning and purpose, in my case, to the spiritual side of life. So, I wanted to ask you, when I was reading the article, the Wonderful Dispatch article about this program, one of the things they mentioned is the difference between art therapy and what you do.
Sure. So I'm a social worker. I'm not a licensed art therapist.
Okay.
So we provide creative art opportunities, or we can call it healing arts or creative arts.
Yes, I love that.
But the thing that we've found, and we would love to be able to have an art therapist and have both art therapy, very specific workshops that are art therapy workshops, and in the future we hope to utilize one of our volunteers that has been with us since, 2016, I think. She's an intern from Capital, and she is in a art therapy program. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to, when she goes to grad school, mm-hmm. that we can utilize her expertise mm-hmm. and hopefully create a collaboration between her university so that she can do her clinicals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but you would still keep this sort of organic approach to art, so that if someone weren't working in art therapy regarding a trauma or something,
absolutely.
They could still come and just make their art
yeah.
to help. Because I do believe that art is really what makes us human.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
And I know everyone doesn't think that way. Witness all the arts being taken out of schools. But it's very important. Art is very important.
Yeah, what we found is that, if you say, do you want to come do art therapy? People will be like, oh, no, I'm all set. I don't do art. No. But if you say, hey, do you want to come do some stone carving?
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, I'll bring a buddy.
That's right.
So it's like two different things, and both are wonderful, but you're going to capture different populations.
That's right.
And populations that may need some extra relationship building in order to get them into behavioral health.
Yes.
Or into the diabetes clinic, or into mm-hmm. MOVE, or mm-hmm. all these different programs that we have. So we really are a bridge to the hospital in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could see that. You were talking about the struggle for materials and funding and that sort of thing. Do you have an outreach arm of this program that can partner with other organizations that might fund materials and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we've been very, very lucky. Our voluntary service department,
mm-hmm.
They are the take care of the donations, and so I work very closely with them.
Mm-hmm.
And community partners have been so very generous, offering artists in residency, often donations in kind mm-hmm. or monetary donations, but all of that needs to kind of be referred over to Tracy Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Prince, who we've had here for a few months, and we're very sad to see him leave.
Yes.
So it really is kind of an interdisciplinary department program as well, because we work with suicide prevention, strategic work group, voluntary services, social work, and some of the marketing team as well.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I wanted to ask you about, do you have particular partners out in the broader community? I'm thinking about organizations that I belong to. Do you have a way to reach out to just organizations, service organizations in the community?
So we're always trying to figure out how to broaden our partnerships out in the community, whether that be in the greater Columbus or in Ohio or nationally.
Well, excuse me, Heather, we're going to go to a break. And then we'll be back and we'll hear from our guests more from our back.
Thank you.
DocTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Podcasts are available. Download DocTainmentRadio.com, the app to your cell phone or tablet. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there on DocTainment Radio. We'll be back.
Thank you. Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals, or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah. Anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Family. And this is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and I am delighted to have my guest, Heather Seymour,
a licensed social worker, and she is the founder of the Veterans Arts Initiative / Creative Arts Program at the Chalmers P. Wiley VA Ambulatory Care Center here in Columbus, Ohio. Now, Heather, before we go any further and hear more from your guests, I'd like to for you to tell our audience your contact information. We haven't talked about that.
Absolutely. People can call me at 614-388-7607. Or they can email me at heather.seymour, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R, at va.gov.
Wonderful. And these would be veterans or their families who would be interested in finding out about the Arts Initiative.
Absolutely.
All right. We invite you to call. Call anytime, Monday through Friday. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wonderful. One more thing I wanted to ask before we hear from your guests. Is this a national program or is it just local?
So VA is the highest employer of music therapists, art therapists, and dance therapists. Nationwide, we have a gigantic team of art therapists.
Wonderful.
So, and it really varies facility to facility, but there is a giant push to have some kind of continuation of programming to make sure that rural veterans are not missing out.
Yes.
Whether that be providing art opportunities via telehealth, using their phone
yes.
to stay connected. So it's definitely an area that is growing. My program is a program that I would like to be able to duplicate to package and hand off to every facility.
Yes.
So that is that's a big project,
yes.
and we're working towards it. But yeah, that's my dream.
Well, it sounds like you're well on your way. Now, I know you have some guests with you, and I'm just going to ask you to call on your guests to talk about whatever you would like to share with our audience about the program.
Sure. So, Bernie, I'd like to start with you. If you could just maybe speak a little bit about the different programs that you have participated in. And I know you have a poem or a few poems that you're willing to read.
Well, it began at the Wexner. I really enjoyed going there with a random group of maybe 12 or so veterans. And we would go from gallery to gallery, and then we would have little assignments to find something that attracted us, that stirred us, and then we'd come back and report. And so it was just a very group-enhancing event because everybody would come back with a different perspective, share it, and then we'd all look at them as if they were strange, but then we realized we were strange too. And it just became a wonderful collection of strange people, and it was great fun. And then recently, a volunteer from the outside, Dr. Beth Weinstock, decided to teach poetry. And we have been a pretty cohesive group of about 5-6 veterans, and occasionally we write fun things. Last week we started doing haiku. So these are short and sweet. It's a form of poetry developed in Japan. It's like 5 syllables, then 7 syllables, and then 5 syllables. And we struggled like mad to cut it down to that. But it makes you think. It makes you reduce a poem down to its essence. There's no extra word. This one hit me the other night. A trigger flashes, resonating through my mind. The past is present. So.
Boom.
Yeah, it's all about PTSD. Mm. No matter what you think. But we get to share, we get to talk about our poetry, we get to hear from other poets. Dr. Beth constantly brings us materials from different artists, and she shares that. and suddenly it just kicks open other doors, mm-hmm. and away we go. Mm-hmm. Here's Marion.
Well, the arts program's been wonderful to reconnect with members, prior military people. There's just this real camaraderie with everybody. It's a very comfortable space. I think for myself, a lot of people didn't even know I'd been in the military. I didn't talk about it. And coming back to the VA and connecting with some of the younger people that have just been discharged or whatever from the military, and hearing about some of the things that they've been through and how different it is from my experience. And it just feels really good to give back, especially to some of the female veterans, that the horrors that they've seen, I really struggle with it. I felt for a long time that I didn't deserve any of the benefits that I get from being in the military. And it's just really great to give back.
You know, I was a veteran and returned. Well, I moved from the military when I discharged. I came to Ohio, basically started a new life, and I kind of swore off the VA because I had such a bad experience out processing from the military, from active duty. Maybe 8 or 9 years kind of led me back to the benefits that you talked about. Like, you kind of need those. You got to push your pride aside and your past experience. Ended up getting a job there. Ended up working in social work there. It's been amazing, fun, eye-opening, all these wonderful things. There was a film festival, was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a film festival at the name escapes me.
Gateway.
At the Gateway Film Center, yes. And Heather asked me to participate in a panel on the transition from military to civilian life. So I was able to share my experience there and also sit back and watch a couple of movies. And, you know, one thing that I realized was that the festival was in itself really, really heavy. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we equate the military experience to one that is like only rooted in trauma. And though that mm-hmm. is a fact, it's not necessarily truth.
Yes.
So, you know, because though I had, you know, not the best experiences, my overall experience was great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm currently encouraging my 18-year-old nephew to join the Air Force as well, because I think he would greatly benefit from it. So, you know, I linked up with Heather and I said, you know, we need to really like represent the veterans in totality and not just mm-hmm. What people think that the veteran experience is. Mm-hmm. Because typically when you see it, it's they go to war, they saw a lot of things, mm-hmm. they come home, they don't mm-hmm. adjust well. And though that happens, there's also, you know, people come in and they have a great experience and they don't lose anybody and mm-hmm. they don't lose any limbs and they're able to transition. And, you know, I think that. And that's why Heather made me the co-chair of the Veterans Arts Initiative for the upcoming film festival, because, you know, I want to make sure that the fullness of the veterans experience is represented as best as I can help.
So my introduction to the arts program was actually kind of similar to Armand's. I got out of the Army, had a bad experience getting out. Bureaucracy, I mean, I can't really hold it against them either. It's not the Army's job to take care of me once I'm not there. So whose is it? Certainly didn't know it was mine at the time. So I got out. And I tried to make Columbus my home. I've never been here before. So decided to come up and see what it was like. I have family around the area. And then after a while, I kind of found out that no matter how much family I had in the area, I still felt alone compared to everybody else. Like, I didn't have any of my vets around. I didn't have anything because I did exactly that. I said, I'm done with this Army stuff, and I stepped away. So eventually that leads down a road to where you end up really needing to go to the VA. You know, you mm-hmm. need to go and see what help is available. Mm-hmm. And thankfully they had a Starbucks down there in the VA, and one day I'm standing there getting a cup of coffee, and Heather comes up to me and says, yeah, you want to go to the Columbus Museum of Arts? And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I've lived in this city for damn near 4 years, and I've never been to any of these places, so yeah, I'll go. So we got into a conversation on the way, and then she said, hey, you should start coming to more stuff. So I started going more often, and eventually I guess Heather liked the things that I had to talk about, so she asked me to stick around a little bit longer. And it just kind of, I realized that the time that she had given me, instead of having to go to any of the behavioral health clinics, she gave me what I was kind of affectionately calling behavioral health preventative care. She was introducing me to the city. She was introducing me to, you know, what could potentially become my new home in Columbus, and vets that I never knew were 5 miles down the road from me.
Well, I wonder if I might phrase it this way. It sounds like the arts initiative is very empowering. Would we say that?
Oh, absolutely.
Empowering. And I was listening to Armand and your comments about every veteran isn't. I'm married to a veteran. It seems to me that this program can help to revise the public's image of veterans as victims.
Absolutely.
You're not victims.
Absolutely.
You take what has happened to you, good or bad. My husband didn't like flying in a medical helicopter over a war zone. But you come back and you integrate those things, the negatives as well as the positives. Mm-hmm. And you're empowered by art, it seems. That is
Absolutely.
The medium here. And so you are, we don't see ourselves as victims, but empowered people to grow from our experience and to share with the public ways that they too can grow from any wounds that they may have, because everybody has them, not to equate, but just to say that that is human growth, and arts is a way of healing and helping us to be our enhanced human selves, would you say?
Absolutely. I think it's also, you know, if you're not a veteran, you're definitely related to one.
That's right.
You're married to one.
Absolutely.
Your child is one. So
I was a daughter of one.
There you go. You know, I was a brat. So my dad did 30 years in the Army, and so from that, you know, you're able to determine. Just broaden your perspective on what the veteran experience is,
yes.
And you're able to empathize, relate.
That's right.
Or just at worst, support, you know, your family member or your friend or whatever coming out of high school, college, mm-hmm. they decide to join the military mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So I just wholeheartedly believe that, like, everybody's connected to a veteran somewhere. So mm-hmm. though you may not understand the experience per se, you're
That's
definitely
right.
In the corner of someone who does.
And it calls all of us to grow. Those of
Absolutely.
Us related to veterans, we step up and we grow internally and
Absolutely.
In maturity and in empathy and in support skills and all of that good stuff that you need to be a human being and use in every social environment.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate your comments. Heather, anything else you'd like to add before we go on our break?
I think they've said it all.
Well, it's a wonderful program, and I want to repeat the contact information, you know, before we go. But one of the things I had read about was the research to quantify how art reduces stress. Is that a biggie?
We hope so.
Sounds like it. Sounds very promising.
So I work with a team of researchers who are much smarter than I, and I'm afraid that they would do much better job than I talking about this. But we have completed two different research projects. The first one was called From Doodle to Fine Arts. Both of them were looking at the psychological and health benefits of art making. So through a 6-week experimental drawing class taught by a CCAD professor, Nicole Monahan, who is now the development director at CCAD, mm-hmm. She really teamed up with two brilliant minds, Dr. Conklin and social worker in recovery services, Raquel Tobian, and we really came up with this idea that we need to provide the data, the scientific legitimacy, to be able to create the argument that more veterans programs need to be supported, not just financially, but within the Chalmers, P. Wiley kind of culture of what we consider to be helpful and healing. So what we found were that in just 5 weeks for the first one, veterans' depression scales, self-rating scales were reduced. Anxiety was reduced. Their social connectedness was improved. Their quality of life ratings improved. For the first one, we were really hoping, we were looking at cortisol, so looking at the stress hormone. Cortisol is very, it's a dodgy one. You, it's very unstable. And they were doing self applications in the morning. So you, in order to get a stable data set on cortisol, it has to be at the same time, and you can't have any water or coffee, and it has to be right within you get up. And so there's lots of ways that this could be kind of unreliable data. Now, lots of other research projects have looked at before and after. So taking a saliva swab to look at the cortisol before you'd have an art workshop and then after to see. And all the research says that it decreases cortisol levels. But we wanted to have something a little bit more substantial, looking at more the longevity of throughout the day, and the data wasn't there. So we have to figure out a different way to look at the stress hormone, in particular cortisol. There's lots of different research studies that are going on within the VA and outside. But what we found was that really before we were looking at that, there are not many research studies that had a control group. Okay. So not very many that had experimental.
You need that, don't you?
Absolutely. So the second research experiment that we did, we were building on this idea because what we didn't account for was all the veterans that were getting jobs and all these secondary unrelated outcomes that we didn't take into consideration. Veterans making friends and then having you know, whole peer groups starting as a result of this research study. People continuing their art practice, and so we really weren't looking at it in a broad enough lens. We were, you know, looking very specifically. So the second research project, we took into account who were getting connected to the VA, how many people started seeing a therapist for the first time. Because in the first one, we were anecdotally, like, looking at it. But in the second one, we really were keyed in as one of our measures and one of the things. So, and that's, I mean, I think that has been the success of this program, is that it allows relationship building. And it is those relationships with, whether it's a veteran coming in and having a face to what a social worker is, or a face to what a psychologist is, and breaking those barriers and really creating a face-to-face relationship that builds trust and allows risk-taking, healthy risk-taking, whether that is going to talk about something that is deeply deeply troubling, or whether that is to staying connected and applying for a job, or you know, trying something that they've never tried before. It's all based on the same foundation of creating strong relationships in order to create broader, stronger communities.
Well, you know, as I listened, I wondered about self-medication. Did they measure whether people had a reduction in self-medication?
We did have some measures of that. Pain is another big one.
Yes.
So in the first research project, we weren't looking at pain enough. And we were looking at in pain in the second one. I mean, we're dealing with the opioid epidemic.
Yes.
And so folks that are deal with chronic pain are yes. some of the largest at risk. And so we know that there's some overlapping risks, and so that's something that we're looking at too.
Well, I appreciate your, in the time we've had, sharing all of that. And usually, before I close, I usually like to do a poem or something like that that sort of shares a little bit of a glimpse into what we've been talking about. And this, I do think it relates because you're enhancing people's quality of life through the arts program, and it's enhanced for all of us. So before we reintroduce everybody and have our last words, I'd like to read this. Live life to the fullest. One never knows what tomorrow will bring, so live life to the fullest today. Enjoy the treasures that God has given and never give in to dismay. Don't let the dark clouds get you down. Be happy and carefree in mind. Each cloud has a silver lining that each of you must find. Always look for the good in others, and life will be happier for you. Goodness and love will always make dark skies seem brighter and blue. Love each other as God has loved you, and peace will be yours to share. Know that whatever tomorrow brings will find you safe in God's care. And this is poet Shirley Heil Powell, and it's from the little booklet, "By the Salesians Set My Spirit Free." I wanted to share that before we go. But in our closing, I'd like for you to introduce yourself again, Heather.
My name is Heather Seymour, and I am a clinical social worker.
All right, and the founder of the Veterans Arts Initiative. And your contact information?
614-388-7607.
And this program is for veterans, all veterans.
All veterans.
And their families. And families can call and refer also, can't they?
They can. And I have to say that if you are not currently enrolled in the Columbus VA, you are welcome to come for our community outings.
That's wonderful. Could we have each person say their name again before we leave?
Bernie Pontonis, and I'm with the poetry program. We meet every Tuesday afternoon at 2, and you're more than welcome to show up and be creative or criticize. We don't care.
My name is Marion Risberg.
Armand Goss.
My name is Stephen Yarger, and I'd also like to reiterate that additionally to veterans being involved with Heather's contact information, if there's other ideas that they might have out there, for example, we do the stone carving and not just standardized art, but if any other organizations are looking for ideas, that that contact information is also available for that.
So if they're looking for ideas, explain that a little bit more.
If you happen to know somebody that may be good at photography and consider it a work of art, and you would like to participate in some classes, give a class, or just recommend a place that would be good for us to take vets, we're always
wonderful.
Looking for ideas.
Wonderful. Do you ever do field trips to the Columbus Museum of Art? Or
we do monthly.
Wonderful.
Yep.
They have some wonderful programs there. When my children were younger, I was a docent there, and I loved it. And, of course, we always keep our membership up now. This has been wonderful to have you on the show and to share with our audience about the importance of arts in the lives of veterans, but I think in the lives of everyone. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We're humans.
That's right. We're humans. And so is there something else you'd like to share before we go? We have just a few seconds.
We completely forgot about the gardening program. It's not summer. But with connected with OSU, we have a wonderful gardening program that'll start up in the spring through the Franklin County Extension Service.
Thank you so much.
As I had mentioned earlier with the behavioral health preventative care, suicide prevention is one of the highest priorities in the veteran community, and we're always looking for ways to like you had mentioned, we're not just wounds. We're also trying to build everybody up as well and make everybody aware.
Thank you. Thank you.
Radio, the way it should be heard.